Agaton Rwasa, the leader of the CNL, called the election a fiasco and plans to challenge the result in the Constitutional Court. Yet Burundi's judiciary is not seen as independent. In 2015, the Constitutional Court ruled in favour of Mr. Nkurunziza's third term, days after the court's vice president fled into exile, saying judges had received death threats. More than 400 of Mr. Rwasa's supporters are in prison. Many were rounded up on polling day. In the months leading up to the election, an exiled Burundian watchdog, League Ithaca, counted 67 killings, more than 200 arbitrary arrests, and some 20 cases of torture. In Busiga, in northern Burundi, members of the ruling party's fearsome youth wing painted red crosses on the doors of opposition supporters. This sort of nastiness has been common in Burundi in recent years. Having at last agreed to retire, Mr. Nkurunziza will become an advisor to his successor with the new title of Supreme Guide to Patriotism. The next president will be legally obliged to consult him on matters of national unity and security. So far, Mr. Nkurunziza has appeared unfazed by COVID-19. His party held huge rallies in the run-up to the election, while his spokesman suggested that Burundi would be spared for putting God first. There are only 42 registered cases in the country, though hospital staff whisper that beds are full of undiagnosed sufferers. Handily, the pandemic did mean that no foreign election observers could get into the country. A delegation from the East African community was warned just 12 days before the election that its members would be quarantined for 2 weeks. The country is relatively calm for now. Many fear that if they start protesting against the result, Mr. Nkurunziza will enforce a belated lockdown to stop the spread of COVID-19, of course.